first, we do want to get more details on CPI here. Our Brian Chung is with us as we talk about inflation and transitory, et cetera, et cetera. Brian, this did seem to show a little bit of a slowing here in the rate of change.
Yeah, absolutely. So the new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics covering price movements in the month of July showing that the rate of change did indeed slow, but they're still at relatively elevated numbers. And let's take a look at the numbers themselves. If you take a look at the month-over-month figures, it clocked in between the June and July months at 0.5%. right in line with the street's estimates of 0.5% as well. If you take a look at the year-over-year change, that clocked in at 5.4%, just a tick up from the street's expectations of 5.3%. Keep in mind that those base effects, kind of comparing against the depths of the pandemic, are starting to fall out as we get into the later months of this summer. And of course, the Federal Reserve looking at the core CPI, which strips out those more volatile components like food and energy, that clocking in on a month-over-month basis of 0.3%, on a year-over-year basis, 4.3%. Actually, that month-over-month change came in below the street's estimates. The street was expecting something closer to 0.5% between the months of June and July. Now, when you kind of open up this CPI report to take a look at a number of different categories, a lot to unpack here that shows you maybe some of these inflationary pressures that we've been seeing are indeed temporary. Take a look, for example, at the price of used cars and trucks. Now, obviously, this has been a major factor in pushing CPI prints higher over the past few months. And when you take a look at used cars and trucks, actually only up 0.2% between June and July, which shows that the price inflation in those cars and trucks are starting to slow. And then what is also interesting, though, on the other side of the coin that could point to things being a little bit more persistent, shelter costs increasing by 0.4% between June and July, although it should be pointed out that hotel and motel rents, which are a component of shelter costs, increased by 6.8%, likely owing to a lot of the summer travel that people have been engaging in. So you don't necessarily want to glean too much from just the headline number from the shelter costs category. Now, things that got more expensive: pork, pet food, women's dresses going up as ladies go out, up 5.5%. Things that got less expensive: coffee tilting down, in addition to citrus fruit, citrus down by 5.4% on a seasonally adjusted basis. So I guess oranges getting a little bit cheaper for people as well.
Yeah, Brian, I know those citrus prices both stood out to us within the report. Also, you know, tough to see prices at the Holiday Inn continuing to rise. I do want to double click on the owner's equivalent rent, OER, which is about 23% of the CPI basket, 0.3% change month on month over the last 3 months. So clearly the transitory parts of this report, used car prices, airline fares, we're starting to see the pressure alleviate there. But now we get into that more nuanced conversation, right, of maybe we are going to look at 2.7, 2.8% core inflation more persistently. And I think when the headline comes down, it could set up for a pretty challenging fall maybe for the Fed to explain themselves if indeed they continue to insist on the transitory path as Jay Powell has, you know, for some time now.
Absolutely. And you point out owner's equivalent rent. Again, you know, there's a difference between the top line category of shelter and then the components that underlie that, as I kind of laid out with hotel and motel prices making up a lot of the change that we saw in June and July. But yes, indeed, there are some price pressures just in the underlying rent that families and households are paying on a month-to-month basis. And by the way, owner equivalent rent, the way the CPI categorizes it, it's not just people who are renting. It actually kind of breaks out what the equivalent monthly cost would be for a mortgage payment as well. And when you consider that home prices across the board have continued to appreciate through the first half of this year and even remain hot through the summer, you do wonder if people who are inking contracts for, you know, let's say 12 or 24 month leases, in addition to people that are just straight up buying homes in 30-year rates, whether or not that's going to start, and already has bled through the CPI reports. Now, those would be persistent because, again, 12 to 24 month contracts or 30-year commitments, if they are buying into a hot market, that's going to stick around more persistently. And I think, as you mentioned, the question for the Federal Reserve is going to be not necessarily is that going to be persistent, is that a problem, but whether or not it's persistently more than they're comfortable with. Keep in mind that their target, which by the way is on a different inflation measure, it's personal consumption expenditures, not the CPI print that we got today. But broadly speaking, if that comes in more than the moderately overshoot that it's targeting for, then that would be more of a problem. But again, we won't necessarily see the full impact of that until at least maybe another few months.
So to sort of bring that home, what you were talking about in terms of what the Fed officials are watching, we talked earlier in the week about listening to Fed speak, right? And I think we got Loretta Mester yesterday. Was she pretty much in line with what we've been hearing from some of the other Fed officials about beginning to taper this year?
Yeah, well, when it comes to the Fed remarks that we've heard this week, actually nothing particularly new. There was some interesting commentary from the Boston Fed president, Eric Rosengren, in an Associated Press interview where he was talking about the idea of the mortgage-backed securities component of its quantitative easing. Again, that $120 billion a month pace of asset purchases hasn't necessarily been helping all that much on the labor market recovery, that to get from the Fed purchasing all these assets to people, the over 5 million people that are out of the workforce compared to pre-pandemic levels, it's not as clear that there's a connection there, which in his mind signals that the Fed does have the room to start tapering those purchases and then at a later date, eventually raising interest rates. But that seems to be a separate point of conversation for a lot of these Fed officials headed into that Jackson Hole meeting in just a few weeks, where they'll likely give a little bit more color on how they're thinking about the tapering program. And it seems like at least the House view right now is that they're ready to go sooner rather than later.
All right. Thanks so much, Brian. Appreciate it.